You still can't talk back to a Latin dad or say what. You have to say sir. Because they hear what like fuck you. And huh like fuck you. And I don't wanna like fuck you. And fuck you means my bags are packed and I'm ready to live on my own.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want you in the game since you guys play.
I can't play these video games.
All right, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode number 81.
All right.
I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And I haven't posted 80 yet.
Oh!
80 was, it did stream, but I haven't had a chance to get it up on the site yet. So by the time everybody hears this, I swear to God, I'm going to have them both up on the site. It's the last thing I do. That's going to happen. So I apologize. Well, I was even asked a couple times, what happened to the damn show? Well, it is out there, and I haven't lost it yet. But it will be, I'll post it up there as soon as possible. Some of you caught it on the streams, which we've got on Rant Radio, DDP Hack Radio. You can catch those Saturdays at 3:30 p.m., which we might have to change here pretty soon.
It is a possibility.
Because things have changed in the real world.
Yeah. I got a job.
it's not like platforming in EverQuest.
Yeah, regular Monday through Friday job. It's a little weird, but...
You get weekends off.
Yeah.
That is very strange. So...
The whole schedule system might have to change a little bit.
Yeah, we might even have to miss you a show or two until it gets straightened out, because I've got to change my schedule to work too. So I wanted to let all the listeners know that there might be a week where we get skipped even, or we just can't do one, because we either have to wait a couple days, or something happens, and then once I get schedule changes at work, we got to contact Rant Radio and everybody else, get everything, you know... The stream's changed if we can, see what we can do, because, we would like to keep doing the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. We don't want to let some stupid little thing like, real life get in the way of playing video games. It's
unacceptable.
Exactly. Yes, unacceptable, and that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. I will not allow that to happen. One thing that everybody may have noticed... On the last couple shows, and this is since the big hardware problems I was having around here, where we had hard drives dying and motherboards exploding and all that crap. I'm sure some of the listeners remember that it was a lot of hardware problems around here. The master copy of the intro got screwed up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've noticed it. You probably don't notice it as much because the quality is so low, but I notice it when I'm editing it because I'm used to hearing like the full quality WAV file. But there's pops in it and clicks now. And it's been like that, and I've been trying to screw with it, and I can't fix it. I've looked, I think, everywhere that I thought I had a copy of it, and I don't. Of the pristine version of the intro. However, this might be a good thing, because it's been a long time that we've been using that same intro.
Mm-hmm.
That was given to us by Bob Nino, actually, using his Apple, made some kind of really cool... After all the Apple bashing I do, still provided us with a really cool intro a long time ago. So maybe, if somebody's bored and they're sitting around, they can sit there and whip up a new one for us. It's been a long time, too. It might be time for a little change, you know?
Yeah.
A nice little... You don't even know what the intro sounds like.
Yes, I do. I'll admit that I do not listen to myself, so I don't download the show.
I can't blame you. I don't like listening to me either.
I was here when it happened.
But that's good enough.
I have listened to a show or two that I've not been here for, and I've heard it.
Listening to me bellow on for an hour and a half every week, you don't need to hear it twice, right?
Yeah.
Poor me has to listen to it when I edit it, though.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And then I always try to listen to the stream, too, to make sure it even comes on correctly. Just to make sure. I usually listen to the whole thing, though, because I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to listen to myself a fourth time. The weird part is I keep thinking, that's a good point, man. I agree with this guy. Terrible. So we didn't have an email this week. But we've got some games to talk about. And if I remember correctly, looking over the list, it's some very promising stuff, which is a good thing. A very good thing.
There's some really cool stuff on the horizon.
I'm certain.
Some of it's out.
Yeah. Like, in fact, Gran Turismo 4. That is out. One that we waited for, a lot of people waited for a long time.
We did not. No. But it looks amazing.
This game looks mind-blowing. If you're into, like, the realistic kind of racing, I'm pretty sure that you own Gran Turismo 3.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely cannot go wrong shelling out $50 for Gran Turismo 4, I bet. Because, I mean, everything we've seen about it, it looks, you know...
really good.
Yeah. However, maybe more of the same from Gran Turismo 3.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, is that they did some really cool things, like added, what was it, V-Spec mode or V-Sync mode or
V-something
mode, where basically you're like the pit director.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have no idea what that's about.
And that seemed kind of cool to me, actually. I mean, it wouldn't be something you'd want to sit and play for 20 hours.
Yeah.
But a really cool break from the norm where you, instead of actually doing the turning and the gas and brake and stuff, you give around this turn, take it this speed, and this, that, and the other, and you kind of direct the real driver on how to drive.
The real virtual driver.
Right. I thought that was actually kind of interesting, because you can practice the nuances of the race as opposed and at its time instead of all at once.
And for those that are way into that, that are really into every corner of the track, you know, I mean, there's people out there that do know.
Oh, yeah.
Every single turn. They know exactly what speed you can take corners at. They know where you need to be when you hit it. You know, that might be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might be a really neat feature. The best feature I thought I saw on that was the photography one. That looked like a lot of fun, because you can take stills of the cars and put them on any background you want, in any situation you want, and there's, what'd they say, there was like 64 different camera positions or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you could really just do anything you wanted to and take the coolest looking pictures of your particular vehicle. You know, you could add all kinds of effects, motion blur stuff, and it was all there. You know, everything that they had in the game, you could just put into a still shot. And if you recorded your replay, you could pause the replay at any point and grab a shot from that too. And then you could, you know, go ahead and do your little Photoshop sprucing up of that video, which I thought was kind of neat. That's a neat feature.
Especially since the cars in this are one of the biggest trophies you get.
Yeah.
It's cool to put those into special situations, take pictures, and make a little gallery.
And there's a lot of them.
There's like 700?
Yeah.
700? I didn't even know there were that many cars.
I didn't either. But I could have sworn that game said it had 700 cars in it.
I think so.
I don't know how they did that. It must be like, you know, this is the red Porsche. This is the yellow Porsche, you know. I don't know how they would do that, but...
well, I'm sure it's a lot of retroactive stuff.
Yeah, that's like probably
the 1970
true,
Porsche.
Probably.
Eldorado or whatever.
The game, I mean, it's beautiful. I think we mentioned this before, where we were watching video of it a couple months ago. Like, it was video on a demo CD or something, a DVD for the PS2, and I, honest to God, thought we were watching video. And I kept, you know, like an introduction to, like, you know, when you're watching, like, a video for, or when you pop in a new game and sometimes they're showing you video of whatever it is beforehand, these cars and the tracks look so real. Honest to God, I thought we were watching video of, like, real races, and then they were going to get to the game, you know, but it wasn't. We were looking square in the face this game.
Gran Turismo 3 was awe-inspiring when it first came out.
I actually never saw that. I really don't like these kind of games very much, so, you know, I wasn't too big on it.
I was shocked.
This game really, really blew my mind, though. Gran Turismo 4, it's amazing. Completely amazing. There's the number of courses. And this is like real life stuff. This isn't, you know, where they made crap up out of thin air. This is...
Well, at least in 3, there were a few that I would imagine are made up.
Oh, I'm sure there's... I guess there's probably fantasy courses or something, too. But there's over 50 courses. And the real courses, if it's not all of them, if it's not every one...
It's definitely most of them, if not all.
There's... They made... Okay. This goes back to the guys that know how to race the track.
Right.
The guys that pay that close attention. Apparently, you know, there's these real courses in this game. And in the game, this blows my mind that they actually went this far. This shows that they put a lot behind this game to me. That the course did not feel like the real course when you were driving. You know, so they went ahead and they fine-tuned the course, and they changed it up so that it actually drove the same as the real course. Not just laid the track out, you know, but that you actually had to take a corner.
The degree of the corner.
Yeah, yeah. And the way the cars and all that reacted, you had to do it just like you would if you were on the course. And that is some awesome stuff. I mean, talk about attention to detail. You know, and I could swear they took pictures of the surrounding area. You know, like whatever you would see in the background out there, and put that in the game too. So you are there in whatever, you know, California out there at track so-and-so.
Well, they have that crazy laser mapping stuff now that the Army uses. That has been released to
video game companies?
Well, movie studios and stuff like that. But they can take a laser net and map out the area down to the finest points and map it out digitally.
My only problem with this is I hate the real world. It's mostly pretty boring. So this does nothing for the games that I want to play.
Right.
But for those of you that are way into race car games...
I actually really wish I was at least halfway decent at that game. At Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
I sucked ass at 3. Oh my god, running into walls left and right.
That's what happens to me. Yeah. Too. Did you play Burnout 3?
My game of the year,
I'm telling you, that game blew my mind. But see, now, one of the problems, actually, there was quite a few problems, actually, with Gran Turismo 4 that we need to point out. You know, things that, it's not the, you know, primo game. It's not, they didn't do everything they said they would do. Now, they said they were going to have online play. And there's still no sign of that. And they took that out pretty early, though. It was before Christmas at one of the shows. They took it out, and they said, we're taking it out so that we can make it before Christmas. Well,
that still didn't happen.
February now. No, now it's March now, but it came out in February.
Right, right.
And then we got, you know, GT4. No online play still.
Wasn't there mention somewhere that there might be later?
That's maybe a special edition or something.
Yeah, I don't know how that would quite work.
I don't know.
It could work on Xbox, but it's not on Xbox. It's on PlayStation.
PS2, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do for that. I don't know. But it also, I don't like... It didn't feel to me like you're going fast. Now, yeah. I've never been in a car at 200 miles an hour. Okay? I would like to say I have, but I haven't. But I have been in a car at 115. And it's actually fast. It's weird. There is, at least to me, maybe it's like everybody has a different perception. I'm sure race car drivers feel like they're walking when they're driving on a, you know, regular street. But those of us in the regular world, when we hit a certain point, at least to me, it was 100. I could drive fine, 100 miles an hour, 105, no problem. I hit 115, and I actually start to see like streaks in the corner of my eyes where I can't identify stuff anymore because it starts to go by pretty damn fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
at 115 miles an hour?
Yeah, at 115. So you're looking at this game, though, and you're not seeing anything that would indicate to me that I was going very fast other than the speedometer. Like, it's telling me I'm going fast.
Well, and part of that, in the game's defense, it's more of a thinking man's racing game.
Yeah, it's because not an arcade speed racer.
You gotta take those turns at just the right point.
Yeah, you're not gonna be doing 180 miles an hour around every corner like you do in Burnout, and then if you accidentally tap the wall, that's what the nitro's for, to get you back up to speed. You don't have that in this game. You have, like, super realistic racing.
Right. The point of the game is the trajectory and this, that, and the other. Like I said, it's like the chess versus checkers.
Yeah, well... It looks like a fantastic game, and I think any race fan can put their money down on this and be very happy with their purchase.
I think so.
I think that's almost a no-lose situation.
All in around, it looks like it's a very, very nice title.
It's so hard for us to do this, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're, like, struggling to say good things about a game that neither one of us care shit all about, because it didn't get our blood flowing. But you know what? There are games that do get your blood hot and flowing, and Devil May Cry 3...
This game looks so awesome.
This is the kind of game, like, you can just sit there and, like, watch the intro or watch somebody play, and I swear to God, you, like, want to stand up. You know? Like, it just... The music in this game... The music is really good. Now, I played the demo before, the Japanese demo before.
I haven't gotten to play the demo.
And it's pretty awesome. It is really, really fast, which is good. You need a speed that's... That thrill, I guess, of going fast. You know, this is... why I'm not a big fan of GT4 here. I don't have that thrill. I don't feel like I'm going fast. In something like Devil May Cry 3, when you're running around slicing people up with your swords, you've got guns.
Awesomest moves. I mean, he's flipping around, slicing and dicing and shooting and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
It's the most bullshit thing you've ever seen, which is what makes it so damn cool.
I love these kind of games where I can just sit down and mow enemies down.
This is that game, then. I think you're going to really enjoy this one, because I even had fun playing the demo. And I'll tell you what, though, my thumb hurt when I was done. I played it for about an hour. And I was like this gnarly cramp in my thumb from just wailing on the button so much, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Because that's how I know I'm really into it, and I'm blowing crap away. When you don't feel it until you're done playing, you're like, oh, God.
Or the next day, you got to put it in a sling to go to work.
Can't hit the space bar with your thumb because it hurts too much. It's all sore. This game blew my mind. The sound effects were great, too. But the music, I think, is what really, really got me into it. Music plays a big part in these games. And in the majority of games, I think people turn off the music. You know I play EverQuest with the music off. There's one zone I turn the music on, Permafrost. Everywhere else, I turn it off because I can't stand game music. Most of the time, it's so repetitive, so boring, it's just not very good. It fits Devil May Cry 3, though. It's like a... How can you describe that? Like some kind of like a little bit... There's like techno tracks, though. Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, okay. That's got to be it, because I was thinking that. I was like, there's a little bit techno, a little bit heavy metal. So that's it, and it gets you going. You know, it really, this is, it's almost like exercise for a gamer. You know, like when you start sweating because you're way into the game, you're like, whoo, haven't moved, you're just sitting there, sweat pouring down your face. That's the most exercise you're going to get. This game.
Thumbs a good workout.
That's right. This game is a workout, though. It's incredibly fast and smooth, which is great. You need that in an action game like this.
Another thing to mention is that apparently it is incredibly difficult.
Oh.
There are 5 difficulty settings.
Wait, do you remember the names of them? Easy, Normal, Hard.
Dante Must Die, and Heaven or Hell. But oddly enough, our normal mode is Japan's Hard.
Now we have
so that means
3
that,
levels higher than that then.
Right. And so we don't even get Japan's Easy mode. Our Easy mode is their normal.
That's a shock.
Yeah.
And as you know, like you were telling me before when you told me that, we don't, that's, it's usually the other way around.
Right.
We get the child version. They give us like the gimped version of it. Here's a little game for you Americans, you know. You guys might be able to handle this. We have to tone it down a little bit for you though. That sucks. And now we're going to have this game that's just going to kick our ass, which is going to be cool. And it actually, that to me is the selling point.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because how many of these games that you see today are so freaking easy? You know, you don't have to try to get through them anymore. Mm-hmm. If you die, it's not like, oh crap, I died, oh my god, I gotta do all this over and it's gonna be hard and whew, I get to try this again and I gotta perfect it. Now it's more like a minor inconvenience. You have a save point every 3 steps. You know, it pops you right back into wherever you were.
Plenty of games, when you die, you end up wondering what happened, like how the hell it came to be.
You know,
it's so easy.
Yeah, you're shocked. And I'm like, oh my god, I actually died. I'm on level 745. 2 levels to go and I died once. God damn, this game. You know, it's almost like they just would rather have the game be like a tour of what they did.
Right.
Rather than a challenge. And I don't like that. I like the challenge in the game is what's fun. When you sit there for hours on end and you can't beat something. How do you think we could sit there and we could play a game like, what the hell was that game, Choplifter, I used to play on my Sega Master System for hours on end? I shit you not, I only got through 4 or 5 levels in that game ever. Ever. And I played it all the damn time. But it was so much fun because it was so hard. The 3rd level, the 4th level, there's like these caves and you can't go too high and you can't go too low. Suddenly it's really hard and yet you keep playing because when you lose those 3 men, you gotta start back at level 1.
Yep.
You know? And then you gotta...
That much I don't like. I like saying...
But you had 3 continues.
Well, that helps.
That was enough.
But I don't... If I like have to go to dinner or something, I like to be able to turn it off. Or go to school, or go to work, or whatever, and come back and continue where I left off.
Save points are nice. Yeah.
That much I do like now, the save points. But 6 save points in a level is no good.
But they need to have the save points where it actually remembers your... I think Panzer Dragoon does this, actually. Orta? Panzer Dragoon Orta? Mm-hmm. I think this one does that. Where you play... You have your 3 men, 3 continue type deal.
Right.
And you can save it. But it remembers how many continues you have. I see a lot of these where it just you can just save it, and it doesn't matter. Like, doesn't Mario strike you as one of those games Mario 64, wasn't that game you could just die and die and die and die, and then you were dead, you hit continue, and you just come right back with three more lives?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... What's the penalty in dying? You have to walk through the castle to get back to the level? Oh, no.
Well, I think that was okay, because it was a large game. You could not... No one would ever have been able to sit and...
I've gone through it before. I've gone through it before on the original men I started with.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of people have.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think that would have really fit the style of the game.
No, no. It probably wouldn't have. Because could you imagine having, like, you know, two stars shy of being able to open the main place and one man, and then, you know, you're stuck in some level where you can't get past? Yeah, that would kind of suck, you know.
Yeah.
But there's something they could have done different about it, I think. What if they took some stars from you? If you had to use a continue, you'd lost four stars or something. Then you had to go backtrack and figure out where the hell those four stars were, or maybe your
just
last
randomly.
Hit. You know, that'd be cool, though. Random four stars, because sometimes you might get lucky. Yeah. Maybe it's hella easy levels, or even levels that you like playing again. Or maybe it's like, shit, one of these is real hard, and then you gotta work on it again, but that's your penalty. Man, you died too many times. You gotta have a penalty, not just hit start again. I really think that they need to crack down on that. And then, because what else is like that? Isn't Sly Cooper like that too, where it's just too light on, like, the extra men don't matter. I mean, you could have 400 men, lose them all, and then you just start back over, and you're back at your base, and then you click, go back into the level,
yeah,
and you're right back there. I don't think that works too well. They need to take something from you.
But on the flip side, if something's hard and if the level's hard enough and you can't beat it, that's quite a bit on its own.
Yeah, that's true. But you need to be punished for sucking. You know? Seriously, how do you think anybody would play Contra if they could just, you know, if you just died and like, you're playing, you know, an old school Contra or without the code, or you're playing Shattered Soldier or something, you know, and you get to the boss that whoops your ass, well, he will, you know, destroy you. And let's say that you're so good, you can get all the way to, like, the boss on I'm just making stuff up, on the fourth level, okay, and you never die. But since you suck, you haven't figured this guy's strategy out yet. You know, he burns up all your extra men, your three continues. Well, should you be able to keep playing against that guy until you beat him? Or should you get punished and have to start, you know, back a ways, either all the way?
In that style game, you should have to start over.
Yeah, because in something like that, it's kind of quick. It's not like Mario 64, where you'd be there for quite some time. How did we get from Devil May Cry 3 to Contra and
Mario? We were talking about difficulty.
Difficulty, yes, okay. Well, we need to go back to Devil May Cry, I think. So, anyway... No, there was words for this, though. There is, it's not easy anymore. It's more accessible. We've got to become more friendly here, right?
Right.
Nothing is hard and easy anymore. It's more accessible is what easy needs to say. And what do you think we should call hard? Skill-challenged people? It needs to be something different. We can't have, because those words are too harsh, you know, you can't have...
Right, not PC.
You know, exactly. We've got to change our language here, make it softer. It's the exact same thing. Like, George Carlin has a whole thing on this, in fact.
And he's funny as hell.
Yeah, it is. And he's dead right, though. It's the same bullshit, just different words to lighten it up a little bit. The game for more accessible gamers. the setting for more accessible gamers. Oh, my God. All right. Now, what else did we say about this game? It's pretty awesome. You know what? The AI was pretty interesting, too.
Yeah. Apparently, the AI will learn your strategy. Like, now,
I've been hearing this for years. I know you have, too. I can recall, like, playing Genesis games, you know, Super Nintendo games, where they're like, look out. The creature knows what you're doing. And it's always been pretty bad, you know.
Well, sometimes I pull it off okay.
Sometimes, very rarely.
And we're getting to the point now where one of these days that claim is going to be true. And that is why I said apparently.
Yeah.
You never know. Because, I mean, technology is getting better and better. The programming is getting better and more complex. And one of these days... The AI really is going to be able
it's gonna
to do
give
that.
You. You're
going to
think you're playing against real people. I've seen people on an Unreal server, tournament server. I've been like the only guy in the arena just screwing around with some bots. I've seen people join and think they're playing against humans because they'll talk to them. It's a kick in the pants, man. When you got a whole team of bots and you know it, you know you're the only person on the server, and then somebody joins the server doesn't realize it only says there's one person in the game, but you know there's 10 bots there.
Right.
I've seen people start talking to the bots. All right, that says a lot. from real tournament bots, okay? Right. I mean, as bullshit as they are sometimes, they do a pretty good job, I think. Because, and it's hilarious. You just gotta name yourself something so you look like a bot so they think it's real people. It's funny.
So you don't stand out.
You know, yeah, exactly. Because then they'll say, how come everybody else has like a normal name? But the AI, though, in Devil May Cry 3, at least on the bosses, you know, they claim to have some pretty nice AI where you've got, like, let's say you're shooting the mob, you know, from far away. You know, you're sitting there and you're blasting away at this boss. They're not going to stand there hella far away from you and let you shoot them, okay? They're going to do, they have other attacks. They're going to come out of the wall behind you or some dumb shit like that, you know, rape you from behind or something.
Right. The point of the AI would be that they're not going, they don't have a set, I'm going to do this move, then I'm going to do this move, then I'm going to do this move, then I'm going to do
yeah,
this
exactly.
move. They have a repertoire.
Pattern.
Yeah, and there's no, if you're back shooting, then the AI knows to do this move.
Exactly.
And if you come up and start swinging, the AI knows to do that move.
It's still going to, I'm sure, be very mechanical, I bet, once you get down to it. Once, like you're going to be able to figure out, if I back up to a certain range, it's going to come at me with this in a second. You know, because I'm sure it's going to be very mechanical. It would be nice, though, if it would mix it up, and there was different ways that it would screw you. You know, because it's all about screwing the player when you're
and
fighting
the
boss.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, hopefully it's that burly, but I don't think it is, because I've fought the bosses, not all of them, but I've fought a boss in that game, and it screws you pretty good, but it's not terrible. So it's not like genius. You can feel the code behind it. You know that it's, you know, when you stepped a certain distance, you did kind of feel like, oh, shit, this is going to come now because I went over here.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that, you know, the rest of the bosses aren't so obvious, I guess.
Well, it's still better than
letting you get away with it.
Letting you get away with it, or the scripted movements.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had that for too many years now.
The patterns work decently well in a lot of 2D shooter games. They worked pretty well.
Even in something like Zelda, I'm getting a little tired of it. It's time for something a little new.
It is. It is. Beef up that AI for us.
Than just learning the pattern.
Exactly. Yeah, because learning the pattern does get boring after a while. And, you know, to get to the boss, for the most part, you probably learned the pattern anyway. You know that the creatures are going to pop out from here. There's zombies on your left. There's skeletons on your right. And, you know, you've done the level a couple times until you got good enough to get to the boss anyway. And it's like, okay, well, now I got a new pattern. Let's start all over again. You know, that's not always that much fun. But the fun part of this, like, even on top of, like, the game just kicking your ass, I mean, it's difficult. And you're way low on the keys, the music's blaring, you're way into it. It is gorgeous. The bosses are huge. They're really cool. Even the regular creatures look really cool. They move pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. You didn't play the demo, but
right,
dude,
the movies I've seen, the animation is really good.
It is good. It is good. They got creatures that, like, you know, when they jump and they land on something, like, you can see, like, their whole body is actually affected by the force, not just all of a sudden, you know, their legs bent. No. Their whole body, like, whoosh, moves down, like gravity pulled them after that jump, you know. They did a really good job animating this stuff. And Dante, holy Christ. This guy,
yeah,
is an acrobat. Yeah. I mean, he's Superman. I mean, everything you can imagine, this guy does at some point. You know, I mean, everything from, well, what does he do? He jumps up in the air and he can, like, put the gun straight down and spin in a circle and blast straight down on top of the head of the guy. He can,
he, like, throws the shotgun around him so he can shoot behind and forward.
Yeah, that is awesome. It's like nunchucks when he does that.
Right.
It's like, because that was weird to figure out, because once I figured that move out, I was able to clear rooms with that one. But I don't know, there's just some really, really cool stuff. You're all over jumping around the walls too, which I like. You're able to, like, run up the side of the wall and jump over an enemy, but it's like a move, so it's not like, well, maybe it'll happen once in a while because I was close enough to a wall and I happened to jump and do this and the mob happened to be in the right spot.
And then it ends up happening on accident.
Exactly. No, this was something that you can do, which is really cool, because you can pull it off when you want to. When you need to do some crazy shit, you're there. And, I don't know, it's neat when he shoots, he, like, kind of hovers, because, like, the force of his gun is so strong that it pops him back in the air just a little bit.
That's how it played in the first one. I never played the second one, because
I heard
bad things about it.
Terrible things about that, too. Yeah.
But the first one I enjoyed quite thoroughly, and this one seems to be everything that should have happened afterward. A real good
progression. I heard the
camera
was bad in the second one.
Well, I heard nothing but bad things.
Yeah.
In the first one, it was bad enough. It was that Resident Evil, I'm stuck on the wall. And in 3, it's the same thing, but you get your choice
of
several.
It moves you a bit, though, and you can control it a little bit, too.
Right.
So at least that's not completely stuck to their cameras.
And you can also choose between several angles.
You
did I notice that?
I was able to move the camera. But I didn't use it much because I was too busy pounding on the keys.
Right.
So, but it moves pretty well for you. Like you know, the biggest problems I had was when I was in the air. I would get in the air, the camera would go in the air. Well, the hell am I shooting at? What's on the ground now? Mm-hmm. That was the biggest problem I ran into, was that I would land in the middle of a group of creatures. But you're the man, so you can just like chop through all those creatures. So it's not like it's harder than, and he's quick. Another way cool aspect of this game, which I think is really, really probably the best thing going for this game, like on top of just, it kicks ass, but I like these features in these games. Customization. You have the ability to customize Dante a little bit.
Right, right.
You know, you can, what are they, they're called styles, I guess.
Right, let's say you enjoy using the melee weapons more. Well, you can make yourself a sword master. And so now, when you're spending...
I wish I would have wrote the names of some of these down, because they were cool, too. Like, the only one I wrote down was...
Swordmaster was the melee.
Gunslinger.
And Gunslinger was the guns.
Yeah, but there was seven of them?
And yeah, there was like, you could be
six or seven
more
or
defensive
eight?
And all this
six,
other stuff.
Six, maybe.
And this opened up, you could still spend your points on anything you wanted. Like, if you became a gunslinger, you could still spend points in the melee and your swords and stuff. But it opened up the upper echelons of
the
that
crazy
style.
Moves right. That you had, yeah, which was awesome because the special moves in this were something to be admired.
So becoming a gunslinger did not mean that you became inept at using swords, but you wouldn't be able to get like the really crazy sword.
Yeah, where you're getting like 47 hit combos and whatnot. Maybe
but
you're
you
limited
got that with
25.
The guns instead.
Yeah, exactly. You had gun moves that could do it, and that was cool. Yeah, that was neat. I was kind of an in-between on the guns and the swords. I didn't care for whatever other options I remember seeing on there, but it seemed like, because I liked the up-close fighting a lot, but it wasn't Unreal Championship 2 up-close fighting. It wasn't that good. Right? It wasn't that cool. You had some pretty neat moves and stuff, though. So, but I would...
I dig that. I'd be all about the swords.
It's
I tend to not pull out the guns enough.
The guns are fat in that game, though. And the way you aim, thank God, it's not like you... I didn't know this, but when I was playing the demo, I discovered... Because I never played any other Devil May Cries, you know, I didn't know. But you don't have to, like, sit there and aim at the damn thing. You know, it's
right,
like lock
right.
on, and you just... It's all about just dumping everything you've got, as far as your unlimited ammo goes, onto the creature, and it's a blast. The graphics are great. Apparently, it's even got a pretty cool story. I don't know anything about that, but you were telling me that the story is actually pretty involved. It's got a little, you know,
yeah,
it's got some history to it.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I'm sure, a story behind the two guns. What are they called? Ebony and Ivory. You know, and then there's another player there. There's a chick.
A chick and then his brother and all kinds of stuff. I don't really know.
Seems pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this game, I would like to own this game. Unfortunately, rent is getting paid first this month, so I'm not even playing the game I really, really wanted to play this month. I wanted to play Ease, that Ark of Nepotism one, or whatever it's called.
That's really cool, too.
I'm going to be borrowing it from a friend of mine at work here pretty soon, I think, as soon as he gets his, and he's never going to see his game again. So let's see. You know, we were talking about lots of slaughter, lots of killing stuff, and I think we're in line to bring up we got lots of killing and blowing stuff up this show. This is good. Except for Gran Turismo, everything is lots of killing. Which is
okay.
Yeah, because check it out. We got some, this is new, because this is a ways away. To coming out for the PS2, it's called Gauntlet 7... Holy shit, I can't even read my handwriting. Sorrows.
Yeah.
7 Sorrows. And why the hell they picked 7, I don't know. Do you have any idea?
Like no, there's six characters.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I can't tell you why they would say 7 Sorrow. There must be something going on there. Maybe like
maybe
7 deadly sins
or
something. Or... Yeah, yeah. Maybe. But the story that we were able to track down for this was that there's the heroes of old, which were like, I don't know if they were dudes that you played before, or they just made new heroes up. Something about like trying to assassinate the Emperor. And the Emperor found out, banished him to, like, some far corner of the earth, or wherever they are.
In a tree.
Yeah, they, like, had him, like...
That was on fire.
It was on fire for all eternity. And they were, like, entwined in the tree, though.
Right.
Like, it was like a prison more than anything.
It was kind of cool looking.
Yeah, yeah. They had, like, the little intro video. You know, we were able to even watch the intro movie, and that was cool. That was pretty neat. This never-ending tree on fire. Anyway, somehow they got free. Something happened. And now they're sent to protect the Emperor because he saves the world somehow. They need to keep him alive, the guy that they were supposed to kill. to save the world or something. So that's a great little twist there. Now, the people that are working on this game, Josh Sawyer, I guess is his name, from Icewind Dale. Right? I like the Icewind Dale series, but they made, I feel, that game too much like Gauntlet than Baldur's Gate. Right? And everybody's favorite person, John Romero, you know, from Daikatana fame. Right? And anyway, these two guys got together and somehow decided to make this new Gauntlet game. I'm not sure what to think about it because it doesn't sound super Gauntlet-y yet. You know, yeah. Like everything you've seen, it sounds like they made, it's not like they made Icewind Dale again with like completely stripping the role-playing end of it out. Right. Just tons of creatures to kill, but in this, the most we've seen, you know, is like small groups of creatures come at you. A lot like Demonstone, that Forgotten Realms Demonstone, and all those Lord of the Rings games that they had.
Right. That seems to be what they were favoring towards, is slightly harder and smaller groups.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the total Zerg onslaught.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but the Zerg onslaught is Gauntlet, though.
Running
which
through
is
a gauntlet
exactly
type of situation.
I wonder why. This is why I have issues with this for some reason. Like, why would they take the name Gauntlet, I guess. I mean, I know why they would do it. Marketing. It's Gauntlet. People know the name. But it almost feels like this should have been something else. Should have been any other name for a game, you know, than Gauntlet. Because it doesn't look like it feels like a Gauntlet. Yet. This game's not out, so who knows what's going to happen between now and release, though. I mean, they even got rid of, like, the hit points potions, though. You know, the healing potions that they had? You don't sit there and wail on the potions. Now, which is probably a good thing, because that does get a little old. And you see it in all kinds of games like this, these action RPG type of games, you know, or these hack and slash games. It does become, how fast can I drink these potions? Look at Diablo. Look at Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. Look at any of the other Gauntlet games. It does come down, you know, and that is pretty boring, but I mean, it was Gauntlet. It was what you were used to. Just run through mobs and just tons and tons of creatures. But you don't have that. But I guess they kept some of the stuff, though. They kept the creature generators were there. You know, like, remember you had the creatures would come out of something in the wall?
Right.
And they ditched, I think this is a great, 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 great thing, they ditched the cartoony look. The recent Gauntlets, Dark Legacy, and whatever the hell the other one was, probably just Gauntlet, Gauntlet Legends, and Gauntlet Dark Legacy, they were cartoony. You know, they had very crazy cartoony-looking World of Warcraft-y type of crap in there. Had to get my jab in somewhere. And they dumped that. This looks very more realistic, you know. Very, very nice, though. It did look good. But it didn't look like Mortal Kombat realistic, where it looked like crap, you know. I thought this looked, it looked really good. I was impressed with the style they took. It didn't look, it looked better than Demonstone. That Forgotten Realms Demonstone, Yeah, Forgotten Realms. The hell did I say the first time?
I think you said Forgotten Realms.
I hope so. Forgotten Realms Demonstone. Anyway, it looks better than that. I think it looks a lot better than that. But now, as far as the hit points go, you have like an absorb life feature, like a mana tap or a life tap kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess you kill it, but it has to be dead. So you kill the creature and send your, you know, you hit a button and it sucks out the life force of this creature. So that's pretty cool, I guess. One
thing I really liked about it was the, I don't remember what it was called, but you set down these circles.
Oh!
And then,
I can't remember what it's called either, but it was awesome.
And then,
like these symbols or something.
Right, and then the person you're playing with can step on that and use his ability, and then it triggers together and causes a new reaction, like there'll be a wall of lightning or ice rain from the sky or this, that, or the other thing, and I think that's really cool. I like that kind of stuff where you're triggering with each other. And
yeah, like you guys have to work together. That is really cool.
In more than just we're both beating on the same guy.
Yeah, that gets pretty old. And hey, do you have enough healing potions?
Right.
They even have an inventory system like that too, where you can trade your crap around, I guess, in this to help your buddies out. But I can't remember what it is, but that was probably the coolest feature of this game, I thought. You know, was those four, I didn't write it down because I was trying to remember it like hell, and I forgot to write it down. That putting the crap on the floor thing, the symbols. What I didn't understand, what I didn't gather from what I was able to get was, can you do it with all four people? Because you can play four people at once.
Yeah, in the movies we were watching, they only ever triggered it with two.
Two people, huh?
Yeah, okay. But then they said the single-player game, I guess the most game you play, you run around with two people. Mm-hmm. With two people, like the warrior and the Valkyrie, I guess. And you run around and you play together, so maybe only their moves work together.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a warrior and a maid and the wizard can't...
do some crazy...
do anything together.
Skill, uber, ass-kick thing.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, though.
No, it doesn't, because, you know, what if you're... I'm sure it's got to work together. It's got to work no matter what, I'm sure. But there's six characters in this, though. But you play in pairs is the weird thing. You know, like, you could hop in, and Kobar and I could sit here and play two players all day. And, like, if you were playing single-player, though, it was the same storyline, but the character that was part of the story that would be in the pair with you appears for the movies. Mm. You know, like the cutscenes and the important part, which I don't really like. I don't like that because it feels like
just
where the
here
hell
I am.
Yeah, where the hell have you been? You know,
hey, pick up your sword, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Now they did that to us in, or they did the opposite to that to us in what the hell was that game called?
Champions of Norrak. It was just the first player.
Yeah. That was so stupid. There's two of us out here just kicking ass, and then you come to like a scene where you know, you're getting a story update and all this important shit's happening, and they're only talking to player one. Mm. And even the video, which is like in-game. It's in-game. It's not like it's a cutscene. It's fucking rendered real-time right there in front of you. Your characters, the camera zooms out, and then poof, player two disappears. And there's player one.
I had to go take a leak when, well, the hot vampire chick was talking.
Yeah. What the hell is that all about? Oh, my God. Yeah, that was pretty dumb. But you have your standard guys in this, though. You're the warrior, the Valkyrie, the wizard, and the other class.
Elf.
Elf, yeah.
Was it elf in past? I don't remember.
Yeah, he was green, wasn't he? Wasn't it like green elf, red wizard, blue warrior, and green...
purple.
No, it wasn't purple. It was green, blue, red, and yellow.
Oh.
I just don't remember what ones. I mean, it didn't really matter what you picked.
I could have swore there was a purple.
In the new ones there, I think there was... like in Dark Legacy, I think there was a purple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I played that in the arcade briefly, but I don't know. The Legends was fun, though. I played Legends. Wolf and I used to play Legends a bit until I got pissed at him. Because he steals all the shit. I got 100 life.
Ahead.
I got 100 life. He's got like 28,000 life because he's taking all the food. And it's like, dude, what? Like, come on, man. So I don't play Gauntlet with Wolf anymore. We didn't get along too well. But, and there's two new characters, though, too. One's called a Lancer, and one was called something that I couldn't pronounce if I had to.
Yeah, Joaquin something. I don't know, it was like 18 syllables long. And
I don't know, they need to change it to like anything, like ass kicker. Something that somebody can pronounce, because whatever the hell the second to the new one, there's Lancer and something else, was retarded. I don't know what it was. I was having a hard time trying to figure out what that word was, so forget it. But it also said that it had like a skill system, like a very simple skill system, which will be neat, because it'll be nice to throw a little bit of role, you know, a dash of role-playing into your gauntlet slaughter. You know, maybe I want to be able to use my fire spells more than my ice spells as a mage or whatever.
Right.
So that might be kind of cool, too. I think games need more a little bit of that customization type of thing. So that would be pretty neat. There is a two-player online mode where you can play with your PlayStation if you've got the network adapter. You can play online with your buddies. So neither one of you lazy bastards have to leave your house. It's all good. Okay, you can sit there and you can play. It's two-player. And it's the full story mode. It's the full thing that you would get if you sat there playing single player. But the four player isn't the same. It's a challenge mode where you basically have a level, like a set level, and then they up the difficulty of the creatures. And basically, it's more of like a survival kind of thing, you know. Now I tell you what, Gauntlet's awesome. They've got a great game here. They've got potential to be an even better game here. They've got, I hope, what's a decent engine. I would like to see something like this on the Unreal Championship 2 engine. Okay? Gauntlets have always been lots and lots of slashing and killing stuff like that, but let's see a little bit of acrobatics in there. Let's see a little dash of Dante in there, okay? Right? Take a little bit from Devil May Cry, throw it on the Unreal Championship 2 engine, throw it in the Gauntlet world. And I think we'd have, I think it'd be pretty neat. You know, I don't know how their engine's for this, but it's not that good. It's not as good as the UC2 engine. There's no way.
Probably something a little bit closer to Champions or
like Heroes of D&D Heroes and that other one.
Dark Alliance.
It's a little bit more. No. More like Demonstone. More like Demon, or yeah, what's it called? Yeah, Forgotten Realms, Demonstone, and like because the other ones are way pull far back camera, and you can hardly see shit. This one's got that third person view, the three quarters isometric view, you know. But this one swings all around because it's all nice and 3D and ridiculous and all that crazy stuff. The spell effects look pretty decent. I would say they need to do a little work on the uberness of some of that stuff, though. Maybe it makes it too hard to see all the creatures or something. But it looks like a fun game. But I know exactly what needs. I'm gonna tell you because I want to buy this. Like, I would love to hold on to this idea and make it myself, but that'll never happen. So now, if anybody's played Warcraft 3, they've gotten on the custom made maps and played online with the people. Everybody knows where I'm going with this. I've talked about this.
I think so.
At length before, and I cannot stress this enough how much fun this mode of play really is. Is the survival mode. Where you had there was a map that was the best one in the world. It was called Enfo's Team Survival on Warcraft 3. But with a game like this, you have the potential to bring a four-player version of this to a console that four people can sit around their house and play all freaking day long. You know, you have the potential to make all these different maps. You know, it would be like a whole separate game. But you've got the engine done already. You would just have to basically make a ton of items. And just make, you know, give a monetary system to some of the creatures and some items and like 20 or 30 maps.
Yeah, something like Enfos where you actually swung the sword and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, you know. But give us the Unreal Championship 2 engine, hordes of creatures, and experience points, and money, and a shop. That's all we need right there. And then your friends. You know, and people to compete against, and that would be the dream come true game, I think, for a long time. You know, that would be pretty amazing. That would be great. This is, I keep waiting to see something like that team survival thing in a game. And if anybody knows of something out there that's like that I've never seen before, by all means, please, please send it to us, all right? The email address is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. That would be awesome. But I've never seen anything like that before.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. That would be pretty sweet. But I think in a game like Gauntlet, it lends itself towards that kind of style of play anyway. And it the would. Kind of person that's going to kind of buy something like that likes to just, you know, tear through some shit.
Not sure it's going to happen, though. You'd have a lot better chance. You'd think whoever made Enfos would make another mod for a different game.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other games out there that are moddable and could make something similar.
He could even make a mod for something like Unreal Tournament 2004. Yeah. The engine is extremely flexible.
Extremely. You
know, we've seen what it can do, yeah.
I mean, they were making a 3D version of a freaking Chrono Trigger, for heaven's sakes.
You know, and all the way from that to overhead real-time strategy games out of it. You know, what the hell? If somebody could just put together a really nice, like the Warcraft 3 system was decent, but it wasn't a full real thing. You know, it wasn't like a real mod. It was just a map. You were still limited to too much of what the game allowed you to do. Something that allowed you to have a great deal of flexibility, and you'd have something special on your hands. I guess that's kind of what I'm looking for. You know, something a little bit more than just the map. The few maps that they had, anyway. Now, on with more Slaughter. Coming out for the PS2. Champions Return to Arms. This is the sequel to Champions of Norrath, the one that we played before.
And this one really does seem like it's just more of the same.
It really, really does. Even the notes I had for this are like next to nothing.
Yeah.
I couldn't write that much down about it because it really was like, okay, here's the same game. Which is, you know, hey, I like those kind of games, so at some point I'm going to end up owning this. The likelihood of me paying anything over $25 for this is pretty slim, though. Mm-hmm. I guess I could see myself going so far as to do the $29.99 on this.
I mean, I'm sure the turn here in the Lava Dungeon is different than the turn there in the other one, but
all they in all... I wrote that down. Same levels. Lava, air, ice, water. I wrote it. I mean, it's like...
They added the a couple classes.
Game. Yeah, they added two new classes, a Vashir Berserker and an Ixar Shaman.
But the original classes have the same moves.
Yeah, yeah. Even. I mean, it's like, here's the same game, right? The Shadow Knight, the Wizard, the Cleric, Barbarian, and the Ranger. They're all still there. Now, it would be fun to me... Why don't they have a damn Defiler in there, though? It would be fun to me... I guess I got the Shaman, yeah. I want, like, the evil, deadly, scary side of it, though, more. But, it would be fun for me to play a different class, you know, like, to go through, even though it might be the same game, I don't see me picking up Champions of Norrath anytime soon and starting over with a different class. Mm. You know, I played as a Shadow Knight. What the hell? Isn't that what I played? No, yeah. Barbarian.
That's what we...
Yeah, yeah, the Barbarian guy. Right. That guy was dope. The Shadow Knight, I got tired of his ass. He sucked. But the Barbarian was awesome. But, like, I wouldn't want to pick it up again and play as a Barbarian, you know, because I know how to blow through it now. I know exactly what moves I would take, you know. But I would like to play as, like, a wizard. I wouldn't want to look as gay as your wizard looked.
There was no choice!
I know.
Whoever designed the clothes for the wizard in that game. Oh, man.
It was terrible. You look like you stepped out of a Barnum Bailey circus.
Turban made out of pillows.
It was just a little weird. You had these bright red pants, bright blue armbands.
At one time, I was wearing a like kitchen glove.
Glove, yeah, the oven mitts. Yeah. That was hilarious. Well, the whole time, the barbarian guy looks pretty decent.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, sure, he was mix and matched colored armor every so often, you know, but every now and again I get 3-4 pieces that look the same and he looked pretty burly and it was just like, I'm sorry, man. But it was a lot of fun though, but I don't know if I could sit there and go through it again. Now the thing of it is though, this game does have a damn big following. As bad as it, like this game has a lot of bugs. Mm-hmm. The online play is pretty buggy, but, and I've never tried it, but I bet it would be fun to do. The voice chat is pretty crappy from what I understand. It's just not very good. And the game itself suffers from a lot of problems. It's one of the few dual-layered discs for the PS2. You have a lot of levels that have texture problems, like the PlayStation just has like a hell of a time finding the textures on the disc, and then you'll zone into like, you know, you'll the level will load, and you're like standing in black space. Mm. And you'll take a step and like a square will like appear. Like a square that's like detail, like the textures actually shows up. It's really weird. And as you move, it starts to fill in more and more and more. It's really weird. But, I mean, it had its fair share of problems. And from what I understand, of course, they're saying they aim to eliminate any kind of game annoyance bugs.
Of course.
However, there's, as far as they were now, which is pretty far because this game's, like, ready to ship, there was a point where I think I was reading a review... I hate to say, I think I was on IGN's website, where the guy said that he ran into a bug that was basically he couldn't progress because of the way that he did one of the quests. He went around and had to click on four things or whatever. He didn't go in the order that they thought that he would go, and like the last thing doesn't appear or whatever. It's not clickable. Like if you got to click four switches and you don't do 1, 2, 3, then the fourth one you can move, and you do like 1, 3, 2, and then go for four, it wouldn't work. So, yeah, now this wasn't like a constant thing. This was just one instance it happened to happen.
It's all it takes,
you know,
though.
Exactly. Now,
you can't progress.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the guy said he had to reload his game, and he was able to go through fine. But the reason, you know, I went looking up reviews on this game because I'm looking for bugs like that, only because most console games, I don't think about bugs. Most console games, I think they're fine, but if a game has a few glaring bugs like the original Champions had, you know, where you knew there was something wrong with it, and 10 seconds on the internet showed you that there was thread after thread after thread of problem with, you know, repeated parts of this game, you really are kind of worried about the sequel. You know?
I think for the most part, console developers tend to be a little more conscious about bugs because they can't patch them.
Yeah. So, and the quality assurance thing there is completely different, though. You know, you can't get away with the internet, the computer games, you know, like where it's you can download it, we'll update it in a day or two, you can test it for us and give it out for free to the world.
Yeah. And the other thing is, of course, they're developing for one specific set of hardware.
That's true, too. That's probably a huge load off their mind, too. You know, because you're not worrying about making 8 different sets of textures because who knows what kind of video card they have or what their system can handle. They know exactly what they got. So I'm sure that buys them a lot of time to kill bugs and whatnot, too. So, they added, for the online play, so, they added, server side saves. So your character isn't saved on your memory card. Because on the original one, you know, when you played with your friends online or with people you didn't know online, your character was saved on the memory card, which allowed for tampering and cheating. With the server-side saves, basically, you know, your character's stored on the server, you gotta play off of that. You log in, and it, you know, has, like, your roster.
Right.
So that's a good thing. You know, as far as the cheating goes, that should stop that, you know, well, at least hinder it. I don't think it'll stop any cheating, but it'll hinder it.
Not that I would want to do it, but in that kind of game, it doesn't really affect other people near as much as...
Well, look at Diablo. Same style of game. Run around and just mow shit down, right? Remember how many people were just duping gold in that, or duping items and making gold out of thin air, and it was just like a rampant cheating, and everybody had like 10 of the best items, and if you ran into some new guy, you could be like, here, have this sword. It's the best sword in the game. I got 12 of them. I need, you know, I supply people with the best. You know what I mean? It's just like, that ruins the gameplay. So that would suck.
Yeah. But it's not near as bad as say, Unreal or Doom or even EverQuest. I mean, you cheat in those and it's really...
Yeah, this being more of like an action-style game, you know. Yeah. But I mean, but people... See, that's the thing, though. In this, we only got to, what, when you play it through one time and you beat it, your guy comes out of that level, what, 18 when he's done?
Something like
18, 19 when you beat it. But the game goes to, like, level 50.
Well, yeah, but you turn around and go through level...
Well, yeah, it's boring, but the community for this game, though, go... There's whole bulletin boards dedicated to this one freaking game, the original one. It blew my mind. I mean, I could not believe that many people were into this game. And they, you know, go through over and over and over and over. I'm sure, like, once a day they go through and beat this game just to see what kind of rare items they can get. But if you've got people duping items, creating items, you know what I mean, making all kinds of... That ruins it for the people that really want to have the funds.
So that's true.
That's why I think that'd be a good thing to do, is, you know, really crack down on any kind of cheating. And to spruce it up a little bit, they also made a player versus player mode. So that's kind of neat, if you want to go hack and slash your buddy, which, I don't know, that seems to be more of like a... How many healing potions can I carry?
Yeah.
Kind of a fight, though. I mean, like, both the guys walking out to the field, moving encumbered, all slow. The wizard starts zapping at the warrior because he can't get to him. You know? I don't know how much fun that'll actually be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, well, maybe, even if they did something simple like impose a limit. You cannot carry more than 20 healing potions and 20 mana potions at one time. That would solve the problem right there, I think. That would be pretty good. Because the game does have encumbrance, though. But that might screw the warrior-type guys. The guys that are designed to carry a lot. The guys with a huge strength. And the wizards would be, you know, or the fighters would be pissed if they were only allowed to carry 20. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't know. It'd be pretty interesting, though. Again. The other thing they did was, what do they call that? Metal mode. Medal, M-E-D-A-L, not M-E-T-A-L.
Right.
This is an award medal mode, where you are faced with multiple, like, different challenges to get awards. You know, just to say, I've done this. And it's pretty gay. It's, you know, really basic. It's like, can you kill 500 of these in 3 minutes? Well, shit, I just did that in your level. You know, now I gotta do it, like, in an arena. You know, so I don't know how cool that is. There should be more to it, I think. Like, what their needs, they need to really get behind this. You need to, you know, I think it would be cool is if the company said, because there's a big community for this game. I keep saying that because I keep, when I discovered it, when I stumbled across this, like, whole community that was into this game, I was shocked.
It is a little shocking.
It's weird. I mean, when you play a console game, you think, okay, here I am playing Random Platformer 27. I'm going to hop online, and there's going to be people that have played it all the way through 500 times, and they know where all the shit is, and they probably wrote a FAQ, you know, they got an FAQ out there somewhere, or you're going to be able to find cheat codes because somebody went through and found the cheat codes, and that's going to be fine and dandy. That's what I expected out of a game like this. It's a console game, you know, no big deal. It's just, you know, a little hammer out a few things. No. There's whole freaking places dedicated, you know, on the internet to this stupid game, okay? It doesn't have that much story, where they create story, where they make shit up about this game. I mean, it's wild, the community for this game. And I think the company, having the community build itself like that, they need to jump in. They need to help them. They need to do stuff. They need to offer, like, a tournament. They need to do something for the players that would really make not only the small community happy, but I think like even just regular players, like, wow, this game has got something special. The company's behind this. They're having an Iron Man tournament this week where you cannot die or your character gets deleted, you know, or whatever, you know, or there's no money dropping or something like that, you know? Like, how cool would that be if they just had all these different modes and they had a contest? Like Ninja Gaiden. You know, they had that big-ass online contest. How cool was that for those that were into that? And even those that weren't were still like, wow, they paid attention, you know? I'm going on a little bit of a rant here about these companies. I think they need to stop just shoveling crap at the door and get behind their game some more. Mm-hmm. So, am I through with that? Is there anything else to be said?
I'm not all excited about that game. I mean, I had a fun enough time playing the first one, but it was a real big letdown when I got to the end of the game and realized, well, yeah, there's all this other stuff to do, but all you do is turn around and beat what you already did again.
Yeah.
I mean, how ghetto is that?
How bad do you think the experience gets, too? Like, can you, like, because, you know, the first time through you get 1 to 18, the second time through you sure in the fuck don't get to 36.
Yeah,
no. You don't double it, you probably get to, like, 24. You know? Yeah, if that, yeah. Could you just imagine, like, I'm on the 28th time through, maybe one or two more and I'll get that last 2% experience I need.
Yeah.
I would like to go back and do that just to see some of the higher end stuff, but it ain't gonna happen. I got too much cool stuff to play other than that. Now, back to the blowing stuff up and killing things again. This game, I don't like this series of games. It's called Worms. It's very popular. It's called Worms. It's kind of like Scorched Earth, you know, where you've got the tanks. Remember Scorched Earth? It was like a 2D. Did you ever play that?
No,
you're giving me this blank stare. Holy
crap. Well, I've heard you talk about it, but I've never played it.
It's pretty good. Did you ever play War? In school, usually on a piece of paper with your buddy, and one of you would draw like a little base on one side, or like a mountain or a cliff or something, and you would each draw your own side. Then you would have like, you would set up like rockets, and you'd draw little army dudes or whatever, and like little paratroopers and shit. And then you would each get a turn, and you'd be like, alright, this dude shoots, and you'd like, kills this guy. You know, and like your paratrooper guy would be like, alright, well, he's got a machine gun, so he shoots, you know, and you'd start just mowing each other down the paper. That's what Scorched Earth was, but on the computer. You had a landscape, and you could have up to like 8 people, and you had little tanks on the screen. And you could, you had to put in how much power was behind your shot, and the angle your shot would be at. Mm. So that, you know, you wouldn't hit them all the time. So it was actually a challenge. You would say, you know, let's try a 75 power and a, you know, 45 degree angle. I'm trying to shoot the guy that's over here. And your guy would shoot, and you'd miss. But if you, depending on whether you went too far or too short, you would know you would need to adjust your numbers. Mm. You know, and it was just simply that. People blowing each other up, really simple like that. Then they added
an Atari game like that, kind of.
Was there?
It was tanks, though.
Tank. Well, yeah, these were little tanks. These were little tanks on the screen. And then it got cool when they had stuff like the napalm. So if they had a guy that like was in a ditch, you could shoot a napalm, and you only had to get close to him. And it would fill the bottom of the ditch with the napalm and kill the guy, right? And it was a blast. The game was a whole lot of fun. Worms is a series that is basically a humorized 3D version of that, where you've got these little, they're big. They're some pretty nasty looking worms, but they're cartoony. The game is very, you know, cartoon looking,
right?
And they've got like bazookas and they've got all this crazy shit, but it's humorous. It's funny. You know, you hit them and they, you know, you blow them out of the water and they scream. They're like, ah, you know, and it's not as funny as say Conker, but because it's not that adult fun. It's more like a kid kind of fun. You
know? Style seems to remind me a little bit of Lemmings.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, a lot like that. There's been a lot of these games. They had a Worms 3D out for the computer. Mm. The 2D ones were cool, like Worms, what was it, like Armageddon or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
But the 3D ones, I haven't been able to get behind. And I didn't really care for the 2D ones either for some reason. I don't know if I just didn't like the style or what. Didn't care for them too much. The new one here, this one's called Worms Forts Under Siege. And I'm actually really, really, really interested in this game now. I don't know if it's... No, okay, it's not on the GameCube. My notes here say PlayStation 2, Xbox, and PC. Mm-hmm. And it's the same idea, except for this time they added so much to the gameplay, it sounds like something I'd be interested in. Because it's not just aim and shoot, you know, and try to get close anymore. Now you've got to build a fort. and you start out with, like, your headquarters, right? So you've got this one building, and your opponent has his headquarters, one building, and four worms, and you've got your headquarters, you know, which is the one building and four worms. And, you know, it's your turn, so you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and put down a building. I'm going to start building my defenses first, right? So you can put down, like, another building. So you put down, like, an armory or some shit, right? And then you get, like, you get all kinds of crazy shit. You can basically build a whole freaking castle. But it's not only medieval-type stuff. I looked at quite a bit of screenshots in this, and I saw they had, like, the castle medieval-style thing. Then they had, like, Egyptian times. You had, like, pyramids and stuff, and you had, you know, like, totems and shit like that. And you were on, like, an island setting. It was kind of weird, though, but it was cool. It looked like a lot of fun. Extremely well-animated stuff. You know, you blow a guy up, and you see all the sparks and the animation. It's very cartoony, though, so expect, like, bulging rockets, and you know what I mean? Like, it looks like you see the rocket go through the rocket launcher, because it bulges up, you know? You see shit like that. They had, like a primitive, like a chain gun, but it shot, like, chickens or something, you know? And you would see, you know, chickens flying out of it, and you would see, like, you know, like, the gun would be whipping around all crazy. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's pretty well animated. It's fun in the purest sense of the word fun, you know? Just, like, a good time. And maybe a little on the childish side, I guess, but what they've added with this game was a little bit of the RTS elements, where now you've got to build, or at least turn-based, where you've got to build your little city. You know, you've got, and your defenses and your walls, and you can set up other places, like other big buildings, like, and you've got towers and all this shit, so you can kill the other dude's players or destroy his city and win that way. And there's, like, you can set up a supply line to keep a building that you create in use. It has to be directly connected to your main base somehow, right? Or maybe not directly, maybe you can go through a place. But anyway, you can blow up the place in between, and you basically lose the place on the end. It's away from the... Did that make a lick of sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. So...
That much kind of works like Netscape did.
On...
That Storm.
On Unreal?
No. It was a game.
Oh, that jumping...
Yeah, the island hopping...
That's right, yeah.
...bridge thing.
Exactly, yeah. So you would only need to look for a weak point, though. You know, a lot of strategy added to this, I think, which is cool. And the way that you would build the buildings is you actually had resources. Now, I'm sure it's getting a little bit too involved for a lot of the players at this point, because I think the original fun of a game like Worms was the simplicity of it. You didn't have to do anything but aim and shoot at your buddy and try to guess what angle and what power. You know, I think that was the simple coolness of that game. It was just simple fun, you know? And I think that adding the ability to build whole castles and whatnot, and you had to worry about resource management now. You know, you have to build your main base or whatever, you know, something near a resource point. And that kind of might take a little bit too much away from just the plain fun of it. But I think, now I'm saying that some people might think that, I think this is a great idea.
I think, actually, we're getting to the point where that simple gameplay is no longer an option for developers. Like, it's just not going to sell.
You know what? It almost seems like they devalue their own work when they do something simple. You know, like, they almost don't have any pride in it. Look at Ease 6, that Arc of Napsism one. I fell head over heels in love with this game. The game retails for $40. Okay? There is no reason that game should not be a $50 game. The reason is, they made the game and felt like an old game, so that they should only charge $40 for it? That's a load of shit. Alright, they should charge only $40 for these crappy games that come out that they're so high and mighty about and that they think are going to be awesome. The next movie game, let's just try it as an example. The next movie game that comes out, try pricing it at like $30 upon release instead of $50. Who knows? Let's just see if it gets, you know, accepted a little bit better by the community, you know? Hey, take a fun game, something that's simple, fun, extremely well done. Ease 6. Make it $50 and see how many people buy it. I bet a ton of people do, because it's great fun, you know? I think that's what happens.
Well, Ease is simple, but it's simple in a very good way. Like, I was saying that something like Worms in the past, where you just aimed and shot,
yeah.
That's like not really the style of gameplay that's going to really fly anymore.
But Ease was simple enough. I mean, it used like an old style of graphics. I mean, like it gave you that whole, you know, look. You feel like you're playing with sprites again, kind of.
Right.
You know?
It almost feels like a Super Nintendo game.
Exactly. And all you're doing is running around swinging your sword around. I mean, it's not like there's, you know, it's not anything different than The Legend of Zelda.
Right, but it does it well, as opposed to something that's just too simple.
But, like, Worms Armageddon and those sold huge, and they were incredibly simple. They were, like, carbon copies of Scorched Earth. You know, with humor added right. in. So, I don't know, that's... Humor doesn't always work. Look at The Bard's Tale. That didn't work too well. It should have worked so well. I mean, it had some really, really good stuff in it, but it wasn't fantastic. It was good, but it wasn't
I don't
fantastic.
Think it did very well either.
I don't think it did as... Yeah, I don't think so. Not as well. It should have done better, but like it would have been so much more fun if they wouldn't have made your guy lurch. That would have made it a lot easier. I wouldn't have got a headache when I tried to play it. I mean, other than that, it would have been... I think that would have been a lot more fun. It was all right. But the cool part about this Worms, I think, really comes down... Like, I don't know. I like the whole resource management thing. I like the castle stuff, especially the building your own thing. I get so into that damn shit sometimes. Playing Warcraft 3 online, I'll forget I'm in combat. I give a shit, whatever. I like to play free-for-all because there's a chance I'll get left alone. Right? And I'll build my little city, and I'll have all this stupid shit, you know, and I got no army, but it's just fun to watch, you know, to build stuff and watch people come in and roll over me, you know, and then just to see if I can have a pee on escape and have him start up a new society somewhere, you know, he's like the last man standing. I don't know why, but that's so much fun. That is so much fun for some reason. But with this, I mean, they've got, I wrote down, as I looked through screenshots, I read on the Worms... the website. I even wrote it down for once. It's wormsforts.com. 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 And looking at what they had on their site and then what I saw in some screenshots, they got, like, catapults that launch, like, pigs. They got, like, exploding fat old people. They got hamsters. There was, like, frozen ferrets or something. They had ballistas. They had, what the hell did I write down here? Oh, old school chain gun. It looks like it was like made out of like wood and shit like that. It shot like chickens or something. They got slingshots that were shooting pineapples. They had, it said big ass chicken cannon, flaming oil, artillery fire. They even had airstrikes. It's basically over the top mayhem. It's really cool. It's really, really cool. I think it's going to be a blast. The only thing that concerned me is everywhere on their website it said, available in Europe.
That's all it says?
That's all it said. It didn't say, coming to, you know, North America soon. It didn't say this game is going to be out in Japan someday. It said, available in Europe. That's the only thing that struck me a little odd. Is, usually you don't see that. Like, I didn't see...
Usually Europe's last.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know.
So they already have it. That's kind of...
That's weird. I know. It was really strange. I imagine we'll get it here. I imagine. Maybe not. Maybe it didn't do so well in the test markets here, you know? But I think it would be great fun. And if I remember, and I don't, I think you can download something from their website. Like, they had, like, a Windows demo of it or something. So, but it's out for PS2, Xbox, and PC. Or will be. So, yeah, I guess they must have had a PC demo version. I should have played it before we did the show, but that would have took way too much time, because I'd still be playing. Like, this game's fun. I don't know, I wasn't too into it, though. Now, I want to talk about that video that you saw, just to fill some time here.
Oh!
Yeah.
So, I'm poking around File Planet, and anybody who's interested can go over there and check this out. We didn't write down the name of the mob, did we?
No. And I deleted the video, too. Oh. It's Onyx something.
Yeah, Onyxa. It's a something. Uber Dragon from World of Warcraft, okay? Some big guild just killed it for the first time, and I saw this video for download, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll go check this out. And I'm watching this, and it's a simple raid. Well, maybe not simple, but 14 minutes of watching a
It wasn't a 14-minute raid, either.
Was there?
No.
Oh, yeah, a lot of it was dancing around.
4 minutes of them dancing at the end of that video, which I thought was stupid, because, you know, they're trying to make it as cool as that one video. The original video that came out in beta, that the guy made with the
that was
AC/DC song.
Yeah.
whatever it was called, Dwarves Can't Dance.
Yeah.
That video was the shit. And I think they tried to kind of take a little from that.
Well, I think they were celebrating, but yeah, anyway.
They didn't need 8 minutes of a raid and 4 minutes of celebration. What the hell?
So what struck me as odd...
And we're not trying to pick on World of Warcraft.
No, we're not.
As much as I like to, it's only a friendly jab here and there. The game actually looks like fun. I didn't enjoy it. There was just too many things I didn't like about it. But I like to give World of Warcraft players hell because they give EverQuest players hell. That's all I have.
But this, someone needs to correct me if I'm wrong about what I saw in this video.
I saw it too, so either both of our eyes are fucked up or this game is just that bad at this. Like, I don't
because,
know.
Because this is more than a friendly jab right here. I'm watching this, what's supposed to be some uber.
This is the hardest part in the game.
Yeah, well, at least one of them, apparently.
Yeah.
Because it's the first time that it's ever been defeated. Very recently. And it says, right across the middle of the screen, in big yellow writing, deep breath is about to happen, get out of the middle, or something along
that. Yeah, now you got a picture about, how many guys do you think there, 50 people?
Yeah, probably about that.
About 50 people in this raid. And they came into this dragon's lair. They're beating on the dragon. The dragon flies up in the sky. They're shooting the dragon. And, you know, the figure, he's in, like, a cavern, right? Mm-hmm. And there's lava. Looks really cool, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually wanted to point out, like, I can't stand the character models at all. But I say this. The dragon looks cool.
Yeah.
Little cartoony. But very little. Because it was deep black and or deep purples. Dark purples, black. It was, you know... deep dark colors, so it looked less cartoony. It didn't look like it had like a big wide eyes like I would expect out of World of Warcraft. Just some kind of a cartoony thing. I just didn't have that. And it actually looked mean and serious. Really cool lava effect. I was watching lava shoot up out of the ground. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, that was dope. Then this dragon flies up in the sky, and he's going to do his special attack that is supposed to fuck up the players. He's supposed to kick your ass. You are supposed to lose this fight. You're supposed to fight it a couple of times, or at least lose your ass a few times. You know, maybe you beat him the first time, but you're supposed to get your ass raised in the middle of combat a couple of times before you know how to fight this creature. Mm-hmm. And the game is telling you how to beat him?
Or when to get away from its best attack.
What the hell is that all about?
Maybe we're missing something. So whoever knows, please,
yeah,
let us know.
Is there something that we don't know here? Is there like a noob option that you can turn on in this? Or is it, could have been, it very well, like, and this thought had just now crossed my mind, I didn't think of this earlier. Maybe the guy has some kind of warning system. You know how they have those...
Yeah, that's true. Maybe his class has like a Spidey sense or something.
That's possible. But or maybe he's got some kind of a... hack isn't the right word, but UI enhancement, I guess.
Oh.
That maybe reads something in the log file. You know, maybe how like it'll say that you're gonna get.
He might have been cheating.
You know, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I would rather know that guy was cheating than that World of Warcraft tells you how to not die when you're fighting someone as you're playing. Here's the uber mob. Holy shit, we're gonna die, guys! Oh my god, this is so hard. Look out! Please remove yourself from the middle of the cavern. The dragon is about to shoot his fiery breath. Please move. And you had plenty of time to move before he did it. The best part of the video. The video, the encoding quality is a pretty low bitrate. It looks good when there's like one dude on the screen. That's and like very low motion, but in the middle of the fight it gets a little blurry. But you can still barely make out the text. Two stupid motherfuckers died after the warning message popped on their screen. You could see it in the guy's log file. And I was like, what the hell happened to those two? So I don't know
Maybe it was, if it was a cheat and or something that his class had, maybe they didn't get it.
If it was a cheat, they all had it but them two guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the whole field cleared the minute that thing said that.
Yeah.
If it was a UI enhancement, that's pretty lame that Blizzard would allow it to detect that coming. You know, that's just... It was a shock to us. It was all because it's kind of a shock to me to see that player-made video, you know, up on FilePlanet for some reason.
They've been doing... FilePlanet has a whole big section of that.
Really? Videos,
yeah.
Well, I need to, like, go revisit FilePlanet. I've been angry with them, so I need to, like, go revisit FilePlanet or something, because I wasn't aware of that.
It's one of the tabs at the top, World of Warcraft. It's a big old list of them.
Oh.
It's only the
I
really...
I don't want to watch World of Warcraft. I don't really care too much. Plus, you know, I do have a bunch of people that tell me about World of Warcraft. Mm. So I hear enough about World of Warcraft. It sounds like a fun game, and I'm glad people are having fun.
I really wish I had the time and or money to check it out.
I've seen it for sale at Best Buy, so I know they're selling it again. I didn't see it on the shelves for a long time, because I heard they pulled it.
Mm.
So, you know, because they didn't have the capacity or something for more players at the time or some shit. But I've seen it for sale again, or, you know.
I think at some point in time I might go check it out when I'm feeling flush.
Yeah. I don't know. It crosses my mind every now and again only because so many people are playing, but what I want to know is, will it stand the test of time?
Yeah.
That's the real question for me, is will this game last long? You know, that's an important part of the MMORPG purchase decision process. Is this game going to be around? I mean, if you're one of those poor bastards that plays Horizon, you would know that that was a bad investment. You and everybody else played for a day, you know, and then everybody quit. You know, that's just no good. It's not like you're playing Dark Age of Camelot, which I've been awfully surprised with lately. Dark Age of Camelot is still around. It's been out for a long, long time, and they keep coming up with expansions for it.
Well, next to that, UO just had an expansion not that long ago.
For Christ's sake. But, yeah, that game's just, oh my, yeah, I know. I heard, and I know.
I mean, sure, fine. Dark Age of Camelot gets an expansion, that's fine. I mean, EverQuest just had one, too.
Another one?
Yeah, that Dragons of Norrath or whatever.
Oh, yeah, huh.
Where now they have health potions?
I'm actually 2 weeks behind on my online gaming radio, EverQuest radio. I actually haven't had a chance to listen to them for 2 weeks, so they usually talk about that kind of stuff, but I missed it. I've been at work. So.
Yeah, so, yeah, but it's right there on the shelves where you work.
So, no, EverQuest Radio. I haven't been able to listen to it. Oh, you mean the game?
Yeah,
no, I don't even get over by the games. I didn't see it, so.
But yeah, so, well, the expansion for UO might be a while ago now.
Either way, I can't believe that game's still kicking.
Considering how old it is, it was pretty recent that the last expansion
was.
That's
crazy. That game, I don't know, I didn't like that game at all, though. But Dark Age of Camelot, okay, I guess the big difference then is that Dark Age of Camelot is still competing. UO doesn't seem like it's competing with anybody. It's just
probably not.
You know, it's just there, and those that are playing.
You got like 1,000 people playing,
you know,
that game.
I'm sure there's quite a bit still, though. I mean, if they keep doing it, there must be enough people, I guess. But like, it's not putting up. Maybe it is putting up some huge numbers. Maybe it is, and I just don't know it. But I'm sorry, screw that game. I didn't like it at all. But Dark Age of Camelot.
It's also like 18 years old.
Yeah, it's old. You know, that game's pretty old. But look at, Dark Age of Camelot's, like, probably, what, 5, 6 years old now?
No, I don't think it's that old.
4 years old, then?
4, I would say, is probably acceptable.
Yeah? Yeah? It's pretty old. It's pretty old. Yeah, it's not EverQuest old.
No.
Which is 5
years.
That's
like 5 or 6.
It's a little bit over 5 now, yeah. Yeah, it's not that old. But anyway, the important part of the story about Dark Age is that their expansion packs keep raising the bar. The last expansion they had, that Trials of Atlantis or whatever, kicked the ass of a lot of computers. A lot of people were unable to play that game because it was so burly now. And in this new patch, they've added 8 new zones. They had some whole, like, underground world. 2 new classes, I guess, to each realm. And some really cool ones, though. Like these crazy vampire things and these banshee undead things. And it sounds fat.
Mm.
I just didn't have a very fun time playing that when I did play it for the couple months I did.
Right.
A month or two, I guess. But they added... they redid the character models, like, way upped the quality.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I do. I like keeping your game recent. If it's a game like this, because look at EverQuest. Imagine if EverQuest 1, if every expansion they put out for EverQuest 1 upped something in it, other than just added shit to it. Recently they added a patch that upped the graphics a little bit, right?
Well,
and that was recently. That was like a year ago.
The old zones would stay relatively the same, except for Lucklin, where they revamped everything and upped the character models and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But every time they put out a new zone, a new expansion, it's current graphics.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
They don't redo.
They need to
the
go
old
back,
ones.
I think they should go back.
But see, the problem with that is you got people who have been playing this game for so many years, and they continue to play it, if only because their computer's that old.
Yeah, that happens a lot. This is, I call, Counter-Strike syndrome.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, what if Counter-Strike all of a sudden upped their graphics you got all these
people
that can't play now?
Because there's still a billion people that play Counter-Strike, because it's a fun game.
The fact that
of a sudden it had Doom 3-style graphics,
yeah,
you would lose a lot of players.
Yeah.
because you couldn't play it at work anymore, you know?
Sure, you want to up the bar a little bit. You want to keep it from being archaic graphics, but I don't think it's a good idea to...
No, to hell with it. Screw those people that can't keep on top of their shit. You know what? I was sitting here agreeing with you for a minute, and then I started thinking about it.
No.
How do you say it? Nuts to that. I want to see, screw that, because if EverQuest 1 was on top of its game, it would look like EverQuest 2 does right now on, I'd say, balanced setting, right? I would think that they would keep it, and it would be a fat game, you know? I mean, it would be a nice-looking game. People try to play it now, and it's very well still a fat game, I guess. I didn't care for it, but at least it would look good.
Another thing in EverQuest 1's defense, the code... For the engine and whatnot, yeah. It's like a bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah, can you imagine having to work with that?
It's been worked. They're and like, reworked.
Don't
and
touch it.
It's about to fall apart.
That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, it's been worked and reworked all and right. redone and this, that, and the other. And that's why they made this huge deal about the EverQuest 2's engine being modular.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
they can where
they
can
do that.
Take an entire chunk out and the game would still work.
Unfortunately, they're playing with that pretty heavy. Let's see what happens when we totally fuck this over. All right, well, we're done. And we need to be done because, see, people are like, oh, nope. They started talking about MMORPGs again. Change the station. We don't want to do that because whoever's on next, I'm sure, would be mad. So we're out of here. We'll see you next week.